News claims and or representations may not necessarily reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation, perhaps. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you today. You can give us a call. Telephone lines are open right now, 888-677-9673. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, in light of God's Word, love to hear from you here today. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Just pray, Father, that you bless the program. Help us, Lord, to be used to point somebody to Christ, help somebody to understand a little bit more about your Word and understand the reasonableness of putting their faith and trust in this book that you've given us. Father, again, if there's one that's searching that needs Christ as their Savior, use the program today to direct them to you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as come before you today, one of the things that sometimes seems to be difficult getting ready, every once in a while I get asked, how do you get ready for a program like this? And one of the things I always tell people is I got to read a lot, that's obvious, but got to pray about it a lot. And sometimes I know clearly where I want to go when I get started, and sometimes, because this is a live program and we have telephone calls, sometimes we don't know where the program's going until we get a phone call. Same with our Sunday night program. We're also on for an hour on Sunday nights at 11 till midnight right here on AM 1220. And, so we kind of leave it up to God's guidance there sometimes. And today I had about three things in particular that I was kind of looking at and wanting to talk about today. And of course, not having a huge amount of time to be able to talk about all of them, I guess I'll just kind of start and we'll see where we go. And of course, if you've got a question, this is your time to get on the air and ask that question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. Also want to remind you, our program, of course, is brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, noon until 5:30 p.m. And it's located at 6668 Royalton Road there in the center of North Royalton. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. And, of course, we're also brought to you by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. East Coast Pizza is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for $5. That's East Coast Pizza. Call them now for pickup or delivery, 216-341-9100, and they're located, as I said, in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. And also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus, and he can help you find out how you can get set up without all the high franchise costs. All right, well, getting back to some things here, I wanted to mention that this past week, I believe it was the 22nd, Monday, was Earth Day. And Earth Day is one of those odd sort of holidays that some people are kind of vaguely aware of it, nobody really 100% sure of what it is. And it's one of those things that's been around since 1970. So this, I guess, would have been the 43rd Earth Day. And Earth Day for me is one of those things, having studied some of the things dealing with the environment, ecology, and biology extensively in the past, Earth Day is one of those things that I kind of wish would sort of go away in the sense, because Earth Day really is a day to basically condemn everything that we've developed for good and condemn the United States. And I think it's one day be a communist or statist holiday, and I might come back to that statement, I don't know just yet, but it's a day that is just basically founded in fraud and perpetuates fraud. You know, the Harvard biologist George Wald in 1970 on the very first Earth Day said, "Civilization will end within 15 or 30 years unless immediate action is taken against the problems facing mankind." The New York Times editorial that day said, "Man must stop pollution and conserve his resources, not merely to enhance existence, but to save the race from intolerable deterioration and possible extinction." And it gets better. There's my favorite, Paul Ehrlich, a Stanford University biologist, who wrote that the population will inevitably and completely outstrip whatever small increases in food supplies we make. The death rate will increase until at least 100 to 200 million people per year will be starving to death during the next 10 years. That's the 1970s, the decade of the 1970s. He also went on to say that most of the people who are going to die in the greatest cataclysm of history of man have already been born, and that by 1975, some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated to the present level of world hunger and starvation, or escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. Other experts, more optimistic, think the ultimate food population collision will not occur until the decade of the 1980s. I remember reading some of Paul Ehrlich's work back in the 70s and thinking, oh, by the 1990s, you know, there just won't be any point in living, really, because we're all going to be walking around in gas masks. And in fact, Life magazine in 1970 and for Earth Day said in a decade, meaning by the 1980s, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive the air pollution, and that by 1985, the air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching the earth by one half. Oh, terrible stuff. Almost sounds like the global warming people. And they just continued on and on and on. And Kenneth Watt, an ecologist on Earth Day 1970, said at the present rate of nitrogen buildup, instead of carbon dioxide back then, at the present rate of nitrogen buildup, it's only a matter of time before light will be filtered out of the atmosphere and none of our land will be usable. If you ever wondered why you had a catalytic converter on your car, that's a part of the reason why. And then same guy said, by the year 2000, if present trends continue, you'll be using up crude oil at such a rate that there won't be any more crude oil. You'll drive up to the pump and say, "Fill her up, buddy," and he'll say, "I'm very sorry, there isn't any." He's partially correct, I guess, in the sense, if you drive up to the gas station, you pull out in front of the pump and you say, "Fill her up, buddy," you're not going to get any gas, because all around here, it's all self-serve, and you got to go in and pump it yourself. So nobody's going to come out and pump it for you. Newsweek magazine, the same magazine that assures us, remind our younger listeners, Newsweek magazine that assures us that global warming is going to melt the ice caps in 1970, said that the Earth's cloud cover will continue to thicken as more dust fumes and water vapor are belched into the atmosphere by industrial smokestacks and jet planes. Screened from the sun's heat, the planet will cool, the water vapor will fall and freeze, and a new ice age will be born. And then our old friend Kenneth Watt again said the same time, the world has been chilling sharply for about 20 years. If present trends continue, the world will be about 4 degrees colder for the global mean temperature in 1990, but 11 degrees colder in the year 2000. This is about twice what it would take to put us into an ice age. And I guess if it weren't for global warming, we'd have icebergs in Lake Erie right now. So why did I read all of that, talking about Earth Day, probably one of my least favorite holidays ever? They use that basically We've reached the point where people worship the creation, as in the earth, more than the Creator. And God created this planet, and God has a plan for this planet. And in Genesis chapter number 1, God created the heavens and the earth, and then He created the planet. We read all about that there. And in chapter 2, we read about the planting of the Garden of Eden and the formation of Adam. And the Bible says that in Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. We have been given a responsibility to watch over this planet that God's given to us. And He said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And then after that, He created Eve, and He placed Adam and Eve in the garden there together, and He told them to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the world and take care of the world that God gave them. And of course, we know the story in chapter 3 where Eve sinned against God, and of course, the result was that we put ourselves under the control of the devil. Sin entered into the world, the Bible says, by one man, that's Adam. Sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so now the world is groaning under the curse that was placed upon this world. And of course, God was, in His love for us, provided a means of escaping that curse, because though by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, another man, the Lord Jesus Christ, a way to escape that death was made possible. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have John calling in, and John, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, yeah. God bless you, Pastor Al.
Hey, good to hear from you today.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I was wondering, I actually heard J. Vernon McGee, of all people. You know, he was an old fundamentalist, and he was talking a little bit about the age of the earth and making a point about, like, you know, I mean, God's not really bound by time in any way. Well, certainly not in any way, not just not really, just isn't. And, you know, a lot of people would say, you know, we know the evolutionists and the people, unbelievers on that hand, will claim, you know, billions and millions of years and just
right.
all kind of wild. They make no sense. Even they don't even agree among themselves. Like, one thing they'll say is, you know, well, this is 300 million years old. Another one, you know, a rock right near it, they'll say, well, that's 10 million. You know, it just seems to be arbitrary the way they say it. But then a lot of Bible scholars will, you know, hold literally to, you know, say so many thousand years and, you know, that sort of thing. And I was wondering what you thought about that. Like, what does the Bible really say exactly about the age of the earth?
Well, if you follow the Bible chronology, the earth is less than 10,000 years old, and I would suggest that it's probably closer to 6,000. And a lot of people say, oh, wait a minute, science has proven that the earth is billions of years old. And I'm not
that's
a person.
That's not true that way. I wouldn't,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, and what I was going to mention there is that all the dating methods have great assumptions in them. When I was a student in college and we were studying various dating methods, and there's a variety of carbon-14 is probably the most common that people think of, but you can basically only date things with carbon-14 that have been alive because they have carbon-14. And carbon-14 is based on a lot of assumptions that the amount of the radioactive isotope of carbon, which is carbon-14, is in a certain percentage and the non-radioactive isotope, and they're both naturally occurring, and that the decay rate decays at a certain steady state, steady rate, and it doesn't vary. But there's also assumptions that, that are affected by a variety of things. We have to assume that no extra carbon was put into the either the radioactive or non-radioactive isotope were put into the object or taken out of it, that it all was just simply the product of decay from when the item or the living organism died. Problem with that is they've used carbon-14 to date living clams or oysters to be thousands of years old. And see what happens. This is what I was taught. This is at Colorado State University around about 1980, 81, or no, I'm probably about 82, one or two. And the professor teaching the class, and we were surveying a variety of dating methods, and he said, sometimes you'll notice that you'll get dates that are only thousands of years old. Sometimes you'll get dates that are multiple billions of years old. Sometimes you'll get dates that are only millions of years old. And he said, how do you know which one's correct? This is what we were taught. This is a secular school, not a Bible college, Colorado State University. We were taught that you select the results that best conform to what you expected to get.
Oh, that's convenient.
That's what I was taught at Colorado State University while studying dating methods. We were told you select the results based on what you expected. So if you date something that you expect to be millions of years old and it comes back tens of billions of years old, you say, well, I know that can't be right, so you reject it.
Millions instead of billions.
Yeah, and you test it again, and it comes out only to be thousands of years old. And you say, well, that's too young, and you reject that, and you keep going until you get the results you want. Now, anybody knows that's ridiculous, but that's what they do. I remember reading years ago in the Akron Beacon Journal where they found this particular bone, and they said that we know that it's so many hundreds of thousands of years old because the rock that we found it in is that old. Further down in the same article, it said we know the rock is that old because of the bones we found in it. So it's a kind of a circular form of reasoning there. And the rock is that old because of these bones that we found in it. And we know the bones are that old because the rock is that old because the bones are that old. And you go in circles. And that's what they do. They ignore tons of evidence that if somebody's into astronomy, creationastronomy.com, I think is the name of it, is a great site to go to, creationastronomy.com. I'll have to link on our website for the radio program, live.maplenoll.us. That's live.maplenoll, MAPLEKNOLL.US. Some links to some of these sites. I think there's some linked on there already. In just a few minutes, it's kind of hard to go through a lot of things. But I remember when I was just a kid watching the first landing on the moon, and I can remember Walter Cronkite there, given the play-by-play as the lunar lander was approaching the Earth's surface, and they were talking about how because the moon had to be billions of years old and we know that it accumulates dust at a certain rate, they were fearful that the dust might be over 20 feet thick and that or something like that, and that the lunar lander, as it goes down, blows the dust away, and then the dust will settle around it, and they might not ever be able to take off from the moon's surface. And he was, you know, given all this information about why these were such brave men, because they went there knowing they may never get off the moon because they'll be trapped in the dust and not even sure if they could walk on the moon. And the lunar lander had these big wide pads, kind of like snowshoe pads, to hopefully keep it from sinking too far in the dust. And then when they landed, they only found like an inch or two of dust, and they were all surprised. That's because it suggested the moon was only a few thousand years old rather than billions of years old. And over and over. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I just wanted to say real quick, because I've heard of, you know, similar things, like they would, you know, they're doing, you know, archaeology or that sort of thing, and they come up with, like, some artifacts, they claim at a certain age, and they find next to it, you know, some trees or something that, you know, they say, wait, this can't possibly be this old because they're buried at the same time.
Oh, right.
And, you know, but this tree, we know this tree is only, you know, couldn't be more than a century old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the growth rate of it and that sort of thing. And then they're trying to claim, well, the rocks or something near it is like, oh, so many billions. And it's like, how can this be?
Well, and the other thing, too, is trees that they call them polystrate fossils, where they extend through various levels where the bottom of the tree had to have been buried hundreds of millions of years before the top of the tree. And anybody's ever walked around.
Good example.
What's that?
Yeah. That's a very good example.
Yeah, anybody that's walked around knows that trees decay when they lay on the ground, and you know they get worked over by various organisms and things and the wind and the weather, and they decay. They don't stand there for hundreds of millions of years waiting to fossilize. And they certainly don't fossilize in place unless they're suddenly covered very quickly. But a good conversation there, John. I've got another caller calling as well. And we're going to probably change topics here, I think, too. But I appreciate that call, and that's something that I'll probably cover again maybe on a Sunday night show where we have more time. But we've got Danielle calling in. And Danielle, welcome to Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor Al. God bless you. How are you
today? Thank you. Good. Good to have you on with us today.
I have I'm a Christian, and but I've been an environmentalist, not in the worldly sense, but in the sense that I try to realize that the Bible says in Isaiah 66:1 that the earth is God's footstool.
Right.
And that He created it, and so out of respect for the Creator God Jehovah, who created it, that we should respect it as His property. And the fourth commandment in the Levitical law, there's a Sabbath rest for the land every 7 years. And the Sabbath is to the Lord, but it also has a restorative effect on the land. And, when man destroys the soil, pollutes food, and poisons the air and water, he passes a death sentence against himself.
Oh, absolutely.
And
in
so
fact,
therefore
the Dust Bowl tragedy in the 1930s was a result of carving up the established soil structure and the grasslands of the Great Plains.
Yeah. So when we harm the land, we harm ourselves, and therefore we are harming God's creation and attacking the image of God. Even so, I don't celebrate Earth Day or anything like that, and I'm not a communist. But I do believe in we need to respect the land because it provides us.
Oh, absolutely. And we've just got a few minutes left here in the program. And you bring up a very good point, because when God told Adam that they were to, in Genesis 1, verse 28, he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." When he said subdue it, he didn't mean beat it into submission. He was meaning to exercise, a caretaker type of authority over it, and being fruitful, multiply. I believe that everybody who's a Bible-believing Christian should be a conservationist, and realizing that, the earth has been entrusted to us, and we have a responsibility to it, not to abuse it, not to waste, the resources that God has given us, but to use them for God's glory.
Exactly.
And, of course, at the same time, understanding that the world that we live in right now, of course, is cursed with the curse that from Genesis chapter 3, and it's going to be rejuvenated by the Lord one day in the future, certainly after the tribulation period during the millennial reign of Christ on the earth. The curse will be lifted, and the earth will be certainly much more productive, and there's actually people who will be employed in overcoming or cleaning up some of the damage and debris and pollution left behind, from the effects of the Battle of Armageddon.
It'll be quite a big job.
Yeah, and then, of course, after the millennial reign of Christ, we know that, of course, this present world is going to be burned up, and God will give us a new heaven, new earth. I believe He's going to recreate it in the form of what originally was created, for us to live in for all eternity. And so, but problem is, we worship the creature more than the Creator. We get our perspective wrong.
Well, exactly. But still, we need to respect the things that God
exactly,
has made.
Exactly.
They are His property.
Hey, Danielle, we're out of time here today. Okay. I appreciate you calling in, and I want to thank you for that call. And, Earth Day is one of those things people try to push God out of everything, and that's what we've been doing. But God's still on the throne, and as our caller said, the earth is God's footstool. and we're supposed to be his caretakers of the world that he's given us. So, well, we're out of time here today, and thank you for being with us. God bless. And of course, if we can be of any help, be sure and get in touch. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications. You can